Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're here, you're here, and that's what matters. And we're going to be answering your listener questions, including a great question from Sherry. She's asking about a quick trip down to Walt Disney World in December. She has the opportunity to go to Candlelight Processional or Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. Here are our thoughts on which decision she should make and more on today's podcast. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance out on my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that there's a mere 161 days to go till Marathon Weekend 2019. That's right, getting dopey for the fourth time. And everybody out there that's running over Marathon Weekend, time to start training. 161 days to go till I check in. And I get excited every time I place a call, receive a text, post to social media. It's right there on my Apple device. I get audio alerts every day at 2:05 p.m. I customize my pictures. It's awesome. It gets you excited for that next trip. You can do the same. Check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com. A huge thank you to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast every time you shop on Amazon. Just please click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online purchases.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1,362 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and Magical Mouse Radio. Check it out. We've got some new stuff coming to Magical Mouse Radio here very soon, so stay tuned for that. But hey, it's Wednesday. It's a podcast. So, you know, we've been doing this for the last 10 years or more where we are going to answer your listener questions. You send them in, we answer them. And today, Ricky and I are going to try to get through as many as possible. So strap in. Pam's on a boat over in Europe on a river cruise, having a blast, yes, eating fancy foods and seeing historic
sites.
I'm
from Walt Disney World, so yeah. I can answer questions about Walt Disney World to the moment.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Well, we got some future questions, too. So joining us, we have Ricky. She's from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and, of course, The Mouse for Less, and just back from a birthday trip to Central Florida. What's up, Ricky?
I am very rapidly drowning in the rabbit hole of stuff that I have left on my plate from going on my Disney vacation. So, but it's all okay. You know how that is when you come back and you're like, oh my gosh, what just happened to my inbox? So
I'm just now catching up from being gone for 2 weeks and I'm still not 100% caught up.
And I still am like, what happened?
I'm still not caught up, but I'm getting closer. Like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And the good news is all my teacher friends are getting ready to go back to school. Actually, Pam went back today as of this podcast coming out, and it's the greatest feeling in the world not to have to go back to school. I did it for 42 years. I don't need to go back to school.
Yes, you did do it for a very long time.
All right. So let me just, again, Pam is not here. She won't be here on Friday. No. She's on an Adventures by Disney over in Europe.
I can't wait to hear about this cruise,
I think I still think they're going to be the youngest people on the ship because I've heard river cruising's for oldies. But we'll see. I don't know. It sounds fun, though. I would, you know me, Ricky, like I go and eat with the older crowd. Like I like to bring
you're at the 4 o'clock dinner.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because the Texas Roadhouse, if you eat before six, it's like, it's really cheap. And so I go out there
and I
get up at 5 a.m, so I'm hungry by then anyway. So yeah,
old man.
Those are my people. Those are my peeps. So I'm going to have to do that cruise too. Anyway, let's get to the first question at the top of the show. It's from Sherry. It says, hey, Mike, Pam and Ricky. Sherry from Dallas here. I'm going on a 3-day trip to Walt Disney World in December. The first night is the Very Merry Christmas Party, and night two, I just booked the Animal Kingdom VIP tour since we had an unexpected opening. This means I need to choose between the Candlelight Processional with Whoopi Goldberg or the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam Dessert Party for the third night. It will just be me and my 9-year-old son. What would you recommend? We're trying to pack as much Disney Christmas magic into our weekend getaway as possible. Thanks so much for your advice. I love the podcast. Sherry. All right, so we got Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam versus Whoopi Goldberg bringing us the Christmas story over at Epcot with the Candlelight Processional. Again, it is Sherry and her 9-year-old son. I have an idea, but what do you say first?
Oh, my gosh. this is the worst choice ever. It's like, how do you choose which one? But I know she's asking. Part of me says I'm gonna go with my initial inclination, and I was gonna say, I keep changing my mind. I'm gonna go with Candlelight because you've got a stuff all around World Showcase as well. So you've got the different countries, you've got the different food. I just feel like that Epcot does a really good job with Christmas stuff. Not to say that Hollywood Studios doesn't, and you're gonna have more with Hollywood Studios this year too, with Toy Story Land getting in on the fun. They're gonna have some excitement there with the music being played, like, and the alien swirling saucers. It's gonna be like Christmassy type stuff. So I'm so torn though, because I really do like Jingle Bell Jingle Bam too, but I think I'm gonna go with Candlelight.
You know, and we're not even getting into the politics of Whoopi Goldberg here, because the chat room is, and we're not doing that. I'm just saying, like, just right, say it was right, a celebrity reader at Candlelight. So I would say, and again, I'm not trying to do this just to be because it's Ricky and Mike, but yeah, I'm saying Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. Here's why. Yeah. A nine-year-old boy with desserts. Like, seriously, like a nine-year-old boy at a dessert party. Now, if it was just Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, I'd probably say Candlelight. And I feel like I feel like God is, like, frowning down on me, because, like, Candlelight Processional is, like, the word of God, and Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is some made-up half-bit cartoon. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, right, I'm probably going to get run over by a car as soon as I go outside after recording this show. But I will say, I think a nine-year-old boy, because there's, like, lasers. It's a really cool visual. It's visually stunning.
I know.
Stunning.
I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah, I think Candlelight Processional is more for the older crowd, and a nine-year-old boy, just sugar high, is scarfing down cupcakes and cheesecake and what have you, and boom, lasers and snow.
You won me over. I'm going with Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. Yeah, I think that's the better choice for a nine-year-old boy, though. Yeah.
All right. And Chef Todd says, best dessert party out there, that one. Yeah, so sure, there you go.
Yeah.
That crowd has spoken. All right, Kylie's got the next question. It says, hi, Mac, Ricky, and Pam. I'll be traveling to the world September 6th through the 11th, mostly for food and wine and for the lower crowds. We have planned to go to Epcot the night of September 6th and stay until close, but we're now very worried the VIP pass holder event from 9 to 11 will mean awful crowds for the last few hours in the park. Do you think we ought to change our plans for this night? How bad do you think the crowds will be? Thanks so much, Kylie. So what she's asking is, this newly announced, this kind of dropped on us, I didn't see this coming, is that Disney this fall is offering, in late summer, some special perks for VIP or for pass holders. They're called VIP pass holder nights, and I think it's going to be very similar to what they've done with DVC in the past. Ricky, is that what you're hearing?
It's something like that. Yeah, I again have been a little off the radar. I know of the event just because I got the invite in my inbox and I looked at it, very briefly thought about signing up for it, and then just realized it probably wasn't going to work out with my schedule just because it was only certain nights. I'm not sure if obviously annual pass holders will have annual passes, so I don't know if they will be able to get in early with the pass holder, like, VIP thing, or if it promptly starts at 9, I guess, would be the time. I would guess that it maybe promptly starts at 9. So,
but the thing about annual pass holders is they can go in early because they have annual passes.
Right, that was what I was saying, though. I don't know if, you know, they will go in early. So I would say that park may see a bump as the night goes on, so just keep that in mind. If you're worried, really worried, then maybe choose a different park. But I mean, I don't know that it's going to be really, really bad up until maybe the last hour or so before the party or the VIP event starts.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change your plans because we don't know. You know, this is a very new thing. I mean, there's a lot of annual pass holders, though, and so if annual pass holders do jump on these events, like, I saw it and I got kind of excited, then I'm like,
right,
you know, am I going to make a, because what they're doing, they're scheduling this in the low times. You know, they're not scheduling this like when you can combine it really with like a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party or a Christmas party. You know, they're obviously they're filling in gaps. And, when I thought about it, I was like, ooh, that'd be fun to go down if, you know, try to work that in. But the thing is, I'd rather go down for a Halloween or a Christmas party than to schedule a trip around this event. I don't know if it's going to be that cool. I don't know, though. I mean, it could be nice. I'm glad they're doing stuff like this, though. I can't complain.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that they're doing stuff like this. It's a nice perk for pass holders when I think we haven't gotten a lot of perks in a while. I do think that their sign-up system is a little wonky sometimes, even now, because I did try to sign up. And obviously, because I'm connected to so many people, I had to try to remove every single person before I almost got to the actual sign-up page, but then I, you know, was like, no, it's just not going to work. But yeah, it'll be a fun event for those who get to go.
Yes, it will. I'm glad that we're doing it. So, you know, it's always good to have the option. You don't have to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. But again, be flexible because the crowds obviously won't be any lower. They're going to be higher, but I don't think it'll be anything, especially Epcot, because, you know, Epcot holds the crowds really well. I mean, even on New Year's Eve, you know, I've been there and it's fun. All right, so next question is from Julie. It's possible first Disney cruise with a baby. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My family and I are planning a large trip for next December of 2019. My husband and I are considering adding a three or four-night cruise to the end of the trip. We've never cruised before, but we're hoping to use this cruise as a warm-up for a longer cruise in the future. Our question is, we will then have an almost one-year-old at the time of the cruise. Is this still a good idea? Would it be better to wait until the following year? Thanks for your help. Julie's in Maryland. All right, so Ricky, I know that you have not cruised with a baby, but I have, and we took Mallory when she was, the first podcast cruise was 2011, she was born in 2010, so what was she like? She was about 18 months when we went, so we had a fine, she did fine. The only thing that was bad about that cruise was that she got sick, because we went to Walt Disney World first. And she started kind of feeling sick. Like, you could tell she was, like, fussy and, you know, crying. And I think she had an ear infection. And so we had to stop before we got on the cruise at a pharmacy in somewhere like Titusville, you know, somewhere over on the Space Coast. Went to a Walgreens because we called the doctor. The doctor said to get this medicine. They called it in. And we took that with her. And she was a little fussy on the ship, which as parents, that kind of makes you, like, really on edge when you're on a cruise because you're out in the middle of the ocean. You know, it's like your pediatrician's very far away. You're away from home. And it's, you know, it's exacerbated by being on a ship out at sea. But the thing was, is that she wasn't really that fussy. And, you know, other than that, everything was fine. You know, I think that taking kids is, and we didn't use, like, the nursery or anything like that. We kept her with us the whole time. But we had a fine time, and she was fine. You know, we just had a good old time. But, you know, I think that's the thing is when they're that young, sometimes you get really nervous when they get sick, you know, and Mallory was sick, but we made it through, you know, nothing bad happened. So that was good. So what are your thoughts on that, Ricky?
Yeah, I think, you know, just know going into it, like, if you did want to have alone time, you do have to use the baby care centers it's a small world nursery, I guess I should say. That does have a fee to it, and you do have to sign up for it ahead of time. So, you know, make sure you do planning if you decide you want to take advantage of that. But, you know, most of the time, it's going to be family time. So I would assume that you'd want to have the baby with you anyway. So I think it's a fine idea. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We traveled with, you know, Haley on the podcast cruise, and we had a great time with her, and she ran around with all of us, and, you know, it was a good time. So you know, just keep the schedule going, and I think you'll have a good time.
Yep. Sarah's asking if 6 months is the minimum age to cruise. It is with Disney Cruise Line. You got to be at least 6 months old when you board the ship. Let me think. One other thing, you said something that triggered me about Haley.
Sorry.
Well, you know what? The thing was just, you know, the thing with the cruise, the thing was, they're talking about 3 or 4 night cruise. I would definitely start with that. You know, I wouldn't jump right into a 7 day or longer cruise with a smaller baby, just because, especially if you're first kid, you're going to be a nervous wreck. Like 3 or 4 days, you can handle it. I think, you know, 7 days could get overwhelming quickly, I think. I mean, I don't know. I think cruising's pretty relaxing, but, you know, with kids, I was a nervous wreck. I didn't know what was going on. So,
and if you want more tips too, we have Disney Cruise Line with little ones on the Mouse for Less too. So we have a page all about it.
All right. The next email says, "Help me, Mike Rallman. You are our only hope." So there you go. You put that in the title, and you get to the top of the queue. It's Amy. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I have some tricky questions about the Disney dining plan. I'm traveling to Walt Disney World for 7 nights in February 2019 with my son, who will be 7, and my daughter will be 2, and my husband. So 7 and 2-year-old and her husband. We're purchasing the Disney dining plan this trip. However, I've been running the numbers and have a few questions. My daughter eats a lot, and that's in capitals, and my husband doesn't want too many buffets. I know she can eat off our plates, but she regularly finishes her own kids' meals at any restaurant at home, because this is a 2-year-old. We are considering going with the deluxe dining plan, but only eating two meals a day out and having breakfast in our room most days. This would provide us enough credits for us to order a meal for our daughter at most restaurants. Is this possible? For instance, if we each have 21 credits, but only each use 14, is she able to use the remaining 7? I know that we can buy dinner for anyone at our table, but does she count as well, being that she is still two? Okay, let me stop there. She got one other question. Yes, those are pool credits, so you can use those for your daughter. If you're doing it that way where you're skipping meals, because you're entitled to those credits. And if you want to use them for your daughter, if you want to use them for the people at the next table, you can do that. I mean, I think it was Scott that was telling me that they were, maybe it was Pam, they were at Yachtsman Steakhouse one night, and somebody apparently had leftover dining credits, like a lot of them, and so like they bought the whole next table at Yachtsman, like just wow. Bought them. I mean, can you
why
imagine?
Why did I get in on this? What?
I'm saying, dude, Yachtsman. This ain't like Beaches and Cream, man. That's so. Yes, you can be very.
That's a lot of credits to be left over, by the way. I'm just saying. Wow.
You can be very philanthropic.
If you buy the next table, yes. Yachtsman credits, and yourself. That's a lot of credits left over.
We need an app to identify people with leftover credits, so you can just follow them around when they go into
right?
the
just
signature
restaurant.
Right? Just
have a blinking light above their head with, you know, in the letter D, like the Disney logo. Hello, we've got credits. And it blinks when you've got credits left over. I follow them around.
Yeah, it shows you how many they have. She says, also, are kids still able to order adult meals off the quick service menus now that the meals include alcohol? Sometimes it would be better for my son to order an adult entree like a flatbread and split it with my daughter than for us to pay for an additional kids meal. Is this still allowed? Thanks for bringing Disney and cheer to my commute 3 days a week and all of the awesome charity work you do for Give Kids the World. Amy is in Billerica, Massachusetts. Hope I said that right. So the quick service meals, you know, because the thing is, nobody has to be there. Like the whole, like, you know, mom or dad can order them for everybody. So just, you know, order as you will. Just bring them back to the table. So there you go. All right, let's get to the next one here. Ooh, run Disney listener questions. Let's hit this one. Let's see. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My family and I will be headed to Disney World in February, and we'll be running the Princess 5K. This is our family's first Run Disney experience, and we have a few questions. First, I see that corrals are not assigned based on running times for the 5K, so how and when are they assigned? Also, with corrals, if we happen to be in the very last one and the race starts at 5:30, what time would we expect to start running? I anticipate taking the race slowly as we will have our 8-year-old daughter running with us and we want to stop for character photos along the way. But after the race, we want to go to Garden Grill for breakfast. So what would be the earliest ADR I should be booking? Lastly, we'll be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo House and wonder how the buses are from the resort on race day. All right, so let's stop there. A couple other questions after that. Corrals for 5Ks. I think they're just kind of just random. And the best I know is that they just kind of like fill them up as the registrations come in. I think that's kind of how that works. And families are typically in the same corral, so you don't have to worry about that. If the race starts at 5:30 and you're in the last corral, you'll be out of there by like 5:45 or 5:50. It's not like the marathon where there's, you know, 20 different corrals. They're bigger corrals and they just get people out of there quicker. So, because there's not a lot of people like going full throttle on a 5K. So you'll probably be out there with 5:45, 5:50. You'll be running. And the earliest, what would you say? So if a race starts at 5:30 and they have an 8-year-old, Ricky, what would be the earliest you'd make your ADR for? Well, Garden Grill. I mean, think about it. The park don't open until 9. Well, I guess they have right. earlier. They have pre-park opening ADRs though, right? I would imagine.
Well, yeah, they do. I guess it depends on if you want to go shower. Without taking a shower.
yes, please. You know, Farmer Mickey says,
I mean,
take a shower.
You know, it depends on how smelly you get. I really have no idea. I would assume, you know, 5K.
A 5K is going to take an hour to walk.
Yeah, typically. I was going to say it probably wouldn't take more than an hour. I was going to go an hour and 15 minutes just if you were really slow, but... Technically, it's a 16-minute mile, so yeah, that's 45 minutes roughly ish. So,
but if you stop for pictures, yeah,
it's
done, probably,
but
like,
it's not timed. Yeah. I get that it's not.
You know, I just go with 9 o'clock, ish, because it's going to give you time where you're not stressed out. If you try to make it too soon, you're going to be stressed, and you know,
and if you
9 o'clock
get there early,
the
they might
you.
Be able to take you in early too.
That's
that's. Yeah,
all right, second question is, any tips on Animal Kingdom Lodge? We're staying DVC and have never stepped foot in this resort, so we know nothing. Thank you so much for your help. Beautiful. Love the podcast. Carolyn's in Webster, New York. All right, lay some AKL knowledge on us, Ricky.
It's gorgeous. So that's the first thing you need to know about the resort. It really is. There's the two different sections, so just know that. There's the Jumbo House and Kidani Village. So know that most restaurants are in Jumbo House. Kidani Village only has Sanaa, so that's something to keep in mind. Definitely get a reservation at Sanaa. Just telling you right now, you want to do that. And then everything else, make sure you view the animals. I mean, that's probably a no-brainer. Take part in some of the activities that they have around the resort because they're definitely unique. They have things like tours and stuff like that that you can participate in as well. So really, I would say definitely make sure you spend a day at the hotel just enjoying everything that they have.
100%.
And that's the best tip I have.
100%. Don't skip out on Animal Kingdom Lodge. I mean, it's just the day you spend there is going to be as fun, honestly, as the day you spend in a theme park, because you're right. It's so cool. It's so unique. It's not, you know, it's not the same kind of day as going to the Magic Kingdom, but it's a fun day that you just won't forget. So
right.
Take a minute. All right. Josh has a question in the chat. Let's see here. We're staying at Pop Century late September. We're thinking of taking our two girls to the Chippendales Campfire Sing-Along at Fort Wilderness. One of the days, what would be the best way to get there? In your opinion, we won't have a car of our own. Thanks. Josh, I would either look at the minivans. That'd be kind of fun. That'd be a splurge, but if not, Uber. If you want to use Disney transportation, obviously it's a bus ride to the Magic Kingdom, a boat to Fort Wilderness.
I would suggest, if you are really okay with it, minivan, because the minivan can actually take you to the location of the Chippendale Campfire sing-along thing. So Uber cannot. So just keep that in mind as well. And I don't think it's at the same location as where like Hoopty Doo is, right? Or is it just a little bit down the?
It's a little bit behind Hoopty Doo.
Yeah. So you could take the bus and the boat, but that might be a little. That'll take you a long time.
An adventurous Uber driver could get you back there, but that'd be their only time they're ever going to get into Fort Wilderness, and they're going to lose their sticker. So probably not. All right, Austin's got the next question. He says, needing help with two table service reservations. Hey there, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My wife and I are ditching the kids and going to Disney World to celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary in September during free dining. You scored like three times just in one sentence there, Austin. That's awesome. He says, we just took them for their first trip in March, so we don't feel too bad about it. All right. We upgraded our free dining package to include some table service meals, but we're wavering on what to do with two of them. We booked Raglan Road in Morimoto, Asia a couple months ago and want to change both reservations. We arrived Thursday morning and plan on heading straight to the Magic Kingdom before checking into our room at Coronado Springs. We'll probably do a quick service meal for lunch. You need to go to Pepper Market, just a little aside there. But we would like to make a dinner reservation somewhere between Magic Kingdom and Coronado Springs rather than making the trip to Disney Springs. We're also looking at a table service meal close to Animal Kingdom one day because we decided that heading to Disney Springs for lunch isn't feasible that day. We thought about booking two premier dining reservations and splitting meals since we often do that anyway when we eat out. Can you tell me if we are allowed to split meals on the dining plan? If not, can we get some suggestions for places to eat on those 2 days? Thanks. You truly make these days happy as I get a dose of Disney every time I listen. I appreciate your help. Austin is in Kendallville, Indiana, which is in the northeast corner. Hope to see you at the Indy Disney meet here in just a few weeks. Austin, come on down to Indy. All right, so they're getting rid. They're scratching Raglan Road and Morimoto Asia. Two good restaurants. So they're looking for. Let me get back here. So looking for a reservation somewhere between the Magic Kingdom and Coronado Springs that first night.
Oh.
Man, what'd you say? You know me, Coronado Springs. I love some Maya Grill, but I'm not gonna.
No, don't do that to them.
It's good though.
So, initially I would have said maybe something like Kona. However, I just ate at Kona and I have to tell you, I was not impressed with their latest menu.
Easy.
I know. I'm sorry to tell you this, but, I feel like they really butchered it. It's a lot of sushi. So if you like sushi, that's great. But the rest of the options, I mean, there were not a lot of options that that were really intriguing to me. So I got the coffee rubbed steak, which normally one would think that I would enjoy that given the fact that I really love coffee, but because it was a coffee rubbed steak, it was extremely bitter. I mean, because it's got coffee grounds on it.
What do you expect? So, I mean, I don't want my steak rubbed with coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
It was actually, I mean, I really liked it, but I also wouldn't get it again. So, I feel like they really butchered the menu and I was not impressed with it. So just a heads up to those of you who really like Kona, check the menu before you go there again. So, gosh, where would I go if I was at the Magic Kingdom? I was thinking about the Plaza because that's a really good option.
Yes.
I think that they have a lot of good food.
They do.
So that's going to be my
suggestion. What about Liberty Tree, too? Liberty Tree kind of flies under the radar. Now, it's heavy. Of course, during lunch, it's not the Thanksgiving meal. It's a la carte. So that might help.
Right.
Keep you from killing yourself.
Okay, yeah,
so look, so now the table service meal that they're trying to do next to Animal Kingdom, I think that's simple. You mentioned it earlier, Sanaa. We did this on our trip last month, and the thing was is that we were hot.
Or
Boma. But Boma's heavy for lunch. This is lunch,
well, yeah, but still.
Yeah, lunch I wouldn't do Boma. I don't even, do they have lunch? Maybe they, no, they don't, because I did a tour through there and they weren't open.
Got it. Okay, yeah, But I keep thinking that it's dinner, not lunch. Never mind.
Yeah, because if it was lunch, man, Boma would kill you at lunch. I mean, can you imagine the rest of the day after you had Boma? Oh, you'd be dead. But so I would go to Sanaa. We did this and we nailed it. Like Scott suggested, we were like hot. We're at the Animal Kingdom. We're like, we just want to eat. We want to get out of the park. We called got on the app, boom, made a reservation for Sanaa in an hour, jumped a new, or I think we just jumped a bus to Animal Kingdom Lodge and went there. There were four of us. It was Scott and Elizabeth, Pam and I, and we got two bread services and we each split like an entree. Like Pam and I split a burger and fries or whatever the side was, slaw or something. And Elizabeth and Scott did the same. Because we had a dinner reservation later that night, and it was perfect. Like, we had the bread service, we had a little bit of protein with, like, the burger and stuff, and it was just great, because it was perfect for lunch. We didn't feel like sometimes you eat so much, and it's hot, and you just roll out of there, you're like, I'm just done for the day. And we didn't feel that way, but it was so good. And it's such a great, I think everybody needs to try to get over there, because, like, we sat right on the window, all the animals were coming up, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I would totally do so now. All right, okay. Sue, let's get to the next question. This is a good one for you because it's a rumor. Sherry says, hey, everyone, I read a rumor online that Disney's canceling pre-booked early Magic Morning hard ticket events in October and November. Mine's booked for early November. Have you heard anything about this? Thanks, Sherry.
All right.
About them doing that?
So haven't heard anything about it. So, and until you get that notification, I would assume that, if you've got a notification from Disney, that would be the official warning that, or, saying that, hey, it's canceled. I don't see why they would cancel it, especially if they've already got you locked in, meaning like they've already booked your reservation and everything like that. I don't see why they would be canceling that.
So. All right.
I say go either way, go until they tell you that they're not doing it anymore.
That's right. That's what I'm doing with Illuminations. Boy, I'm going to go to that show till they take it away, which could be sooner rather than
later.
Now,
that's a rumor I have heard. So
I think, I just keep telling myself, they're just souping up Illuminations. That's all they're doing. They're just putting in more stuff.
Right.
Yeah, they're not.
Right.
They're putting in drones. So they're putting in. Anyway.
Putting in something.
Yeah, I know. Drones are awesome. That's the only thing that, like, if they get rid of Illuminations but bring in drones, they got me. I'm okay. I won't have to strap myself with Henry and whoever else I was going to strap myself to the lagoon with. We're gonna be
that's
okay.
Good.
All right, Laura's got the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, I need some help after being a longtime listener. I'm very excited to ask my first question, and it's a what would you do? I like this. I'm going down to the world for a 6-night trip at the end of October, staying at Wilderness Lodge with a park hopper. I was set to arrive on a Sunday originally and not use a ticket on that day since I had purchased the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for that night and would go in after checking in and getting settled in. But this week, I switched my flight to arrive a day early because of a dramatic price cut with the airline if we would arrive on Saturday. And, well, who doesn't want more time at Disney? Win-win. But now I don't know what to do with that day. My original thought was to stay at a Disney Springs hotel and do some dining and shopping on that Saturday evening since my flight arrives about 5 p.m. that day. But now I'm left with all day Sunday with no park ticket, which I am okay with because I can find plenty to do outside the park. But it's such a nominal fee to upgrade to a 7-day. And I'm also not sure about my Disney Springs area hotel idea because of Magical Express. Help, what would you do in this situation? Thanks in advance for any and all advice. Laura is in Berwick, Louisiana. I know that I mispronounced that city earlier. Chat room, you'd let me know, and I'm sorry, but I will work on my pronunciation. All right, so this one's pretty simple. First of all, when you got a 6-day ticket and you're going to go to a 7-day ticket, it's a no-brainer. It is money that you will never, ever regret spending. You're talking like 10 bucks, maybe even less. I don't have it in front of me, but it's around 10 bucks or less to go from a 6 to a 7-day Magic Your Way ticket. Think about this. Would you pay $10 for another day at a Disney park? I mean, think about it. The first day is over 100 bucks.
Right.
And you can have that same day for $10 or less. And the thing is, it opens up all kinds of potential for you, especially she has a hopper, you know, so like, boom, you can go to any park. You can go to 2 parks a day. You can go to 4 parks a day because she's getting in late on Saturday night. But go to a park Saturday night, get settled in and, go, you know, go watch some fireworks. Something. Then you got all day Sunday before the Halloween party. Go to a park, have a good time. And I just add a day if you can at Wilderness Lodge, because I don't think, you know, with a shorter trip that you want to do a lot of resort hopping, I think that'd be a pain. So, Ricky, what are your thoughts?
I think that's a good, I mean, I would definitely add the park. I would definitely add the day. And if you're not wanting to add the day, you know, you definitely have a good idea with Disney Springs. I think that that's always something that you can do. Or resort hop, like you said, a little bit. But I think that what you said was probably the best plan.
Yeah, go in. Yeah, that's why you're there. You know, and it's, think about what you're spending on the trip and what's 10 extra bucks at that point. Nothing.
Right.
All right, we got it. We got some feedback. Minivan and car seat info from Rachel. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I was listening to your listener question show, and you guys were talking about the minivans, Uber, and car seats. We just got back from our trip to the world with our 6-month-old. We used the minivan service many times during our stay and can't rave enough about it. They do have rear-facing car seats and infant pillows for the tiny babies as well. Each minivan is equipped with 2 Graco Forever car seats in the trunk. Cast members have to undergo 3 days of car seat training, and our drivers were all extremely quick and thorough when installing the car seat. Thought this info might be helpful for other listeners. Thanks for a great show. My daughter Aurora and I love listening to your show on the way to work and daycare. Rachel is in Fredericksburg, Virginia, 822 miles from me, 289 from Pam, well, not today, and 590 miles from you, Ricky. So how about that? We got to send a shout out to Aurora. Aurora, hey. So is Aurora going to work and Rachel's going to daycare, or is it the other way? I don't know. It could be. I don't know. So Aurora, thanks for listening. Keep your mom listening. At least keep her downloading. Can you imagine 3 days of car seat training? Whew. That sounds a teacher in service.
Don't they only give you 1 day of car seat training kind of when you have a baby?
I don't think I ever figured it out. I was still Pam. Like, because, you know, we'd want to move the car seat every once in a while, like over to the Jeep or something. And I'm like, God, is it worth it? Because you don't even, like, wait, Ricky, wait till you have a kid. Like, they are anchored down by, like, secret hooks in the seats and everything. It's ridiculous. Like, you would think just like, but I, like, when we rode around, I don't even think we put seatbelts on the kids. Like, I don't remember even having a seatbelt. I was in the back of my grandpa's truck. You know, like, good God. Like,
times have changed, yes.
I mean, I was in the back of the F-150, and we all made it. There's like 6 of us. Anyway.
That's right.
All right, Logan's got the next question. Planning our first trip as a married couple. Hi, Mike and Ricky. Well, see, look, Logan knew Pam wasn't even going to be here.
He knew.
This was
I think I can handle this one because I go with Brian all the time.
That's right. My husband and I are planning our first trip as a married couple. We took a trip together last fall of October of 2017 and had a blast. That trip was planned very last minute, and we just explored. We're now planning our next trip and first as a married couple. Our question, we're going just the two of us. Every time I see just the two of us, I just want to sing that song. Just two of us. Grover Cleveland, I think. No, Grover Washington. Grover Cleveland was the president. Anyway.
Sadly enough, I think of Will Smith. So.
Yeah, that's it. See, I'm OG. All right. So our question, we're going just the two of us and thinking a 5-day, 4-night trip. When is the best time to go for lowest crowds? We're thinking late January. Also, is it better to fly in on a Friday and leave on a Tuesday or fly in on a Thursday and leave on a Monday? We have a bit of flexibility with our vacation days. Just want to connect it to a weekend. Thanks in advance. I just started listening to your podcast, which spurred the decision to go back to Disney with more planning and booking a few months out this winter. Thanks so much, Logan. All right, you know what? Disney needs to hear that. We're driving business your way, Disney, so thank you.
That's right.
Keep letting us come with cool stuff. All right, so would you rather do, let's just jump on this part. Would you go Friday to Tuesday, or would you go Thursday to Monday if you had your choice?
Personally, I do whatever fits into whatever I'm planning on doing best. So whether it would be airline, you know, which one I can get the cheaper flights for, or maybe, you know, which one I can get the cheaper rental car for, or what activity I'm looking to do during the trip, what days it works out better. Cause I do these trips all the time. So, usually, when I do them, I will do, like a Friday through, you know, like a Tuesday type thing. You know, that's usually, or yeah, right. Yeah, is that what they said?
That was one of the options. Yep.
Friday through Tuesday. Yep. Yeah. So usually that's what I'll do. But I mean, I think, you know, Thursday through Monday is fine. Like I said, just I think whatever works best for what you're planning on doing is going to be the best option. And what is the cheaper option for you? I think that's where I would go.
And so they're thinking late. They're looking for low crowds. So late January is a good time to go. The mm-hmm. weather can be slightly sketchy still at the end of January, but it's not bad. I mean, it's way better than anywhere else in the country. But if you're really looking for good weather, I like you're trying to avoid spring break. So I would say,
yeah.
Well, early May is like sweet. I mean, yes. It gets a little hot, but early May is like the bomb to go down there. Yeah. Flower and gardens going on, great weather. It's getting warm, but you don't really. The thing is, like in early May, you don't mind warm because you've been frozen. If you're from like the Midwest or most places in the country, like you're just like, oh god, it feels so good to be in 80 degree weather. You know, we're like. You're like, you're sick of it by, you know, this time of the year, but, you know, I think you could handle it then, so.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, early May is one of my favorite times to go.
All right, let's hit another question here from Robin. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, do you know whether Walt Disney World annual pass holders get their discount when they use mobile ordering at the quick service restaurants? Last year when we were there, the mobile ordering app wasn't set up yet to get the AP discount. Has this changed yet? Love the podcast, Robin. I don't think so.
Not yet, no. Mm-mm. Unfortunately, and part of it is also that most of the time, keyword is most. You don't get annual pass holder discounts at counter service anyway. Like especially within the parks, I know you can get it like in some of the resort places, but definitely in the parks they don't offer an annual pass discount anyway at the counter service restaurants.
That's true. All right, let's get to the next. It says girls trip questions, Ricky. So this one's for you. Here we go.
Okay. You don't want to answer this.
Well, no, I'm good. I mean, I've worked with all women. I have a house full of women. Like, I'm pretty good at this.
You do this with all women.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, my whole life. Like, I don't know. It's like, yes. I thought about that one day. I'm like, good Lord. It's scary. All right. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky.
You need a little masculine.
I do. I have a few questions about my upcoming trip, and you've helped me before on earlier trips, so I'm hoping you can help me now. I've been to the world with my family about 8 times, but this will be our first trip without them. My best friend Liz and I are doing a girls-only trip in April 2019 to celebrate my birthday. We've been down twice before with her family joining us on family trips. We're staying at French Quarter, and keeping with the resort, are planning a laid-back sort of trip. Hitting the parks is a must, but also maybe a spa day at the Grand Floridian, finishing off the trip at Trader Sam's.
Nice.
Also planning time at Disney Springs, hopefully with a trip to homecoming. Yes. Hallelujah eggs. Or biscuit. Hallelujah.
That's
biscuit.
Brunch. That's brunch.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
You have to go on Sunday for that.
I would hold somebody hostage to get a Hallelujah biscuit. I'd go in armed. I shouldn't say that. I would not do that.
Yeah,
I take
that
back.
That's not a good thing.
I take that back. But it was that good. Okay, she has two questions. Here's my questions. Which dessert party at the Magic Kingdom would you do? We enjoyed Wishes the last time we're there, but we're lucky to find a spot to stand. Hoping a dessert party will make it easier to see things. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Happily Ever After, and I would do it before. I'd eat the desserts before, watch fireworks, because then you're free to go.
And I would do the Plaza Garden one, not the Tomorrowland Terrace one. Like, the viewing area.
There you go. Number two, I have one confirmation number for the room that we are sharing, and have put that info into the My Disney Experience account. Does my friend do the same? How does it work with the magic bands and using them to pay for things? We would want my purchases to go on one credit card and hers to go to another. Can we do that? It's even better if you put your purchases on your friend's card and you don't have to pay for anything. That's what good friends do. Let's see. Since I've only shared a room with my family before, I'm not sure how this would work with a non-family member. Thanks for your help. Always enjoy listening to you guys, especially the St. Louis references. I may be living in Chicago now, but this born and bred St. Louisan will always be a Cardinal fan. Chris is up in Aurora, Illinois. That's right. And the Cardinals did take 2 of 3 of the Cubs. So what's up? Even though we're 8 out, but I'm not talking about that right now. All right. So, Ricky, I think Disney now, they're getting a lot better now with the splitting of the magic bands on cards and stuff like that. It used to be you couldn't do that.
Yeah, you definitely can. Just to double check everything, go down to the front desk and just make sure everything is split. They definitely can take care of that. I know that for sure, because when I've stayed with Florence before, I've made my own purchases on my own magic band, and she's made her own. And for the most part, they end up in the right places. There's every once in a while, when you get the bill, you'll see it, and it may be switched. And you can just go back down to the front desk when you check out, and if there's anything that looks wrong, you can get that switch back. But yeah, it's really easy. just make a trip to the front desk to double check.
But I like the trip they have planned, because the thing is, you want to have good meals, good drinks with friends, Trader Sam's, you know, spa, that's a splurge. So, I mean, I think you're doing it right and going to the parks. But, I mean, you know, I would put the treats like at the end of the day, and especially like the spa day at the end of the trip. So you have something you're looking forward to throughout the trip. You're talking like, oh, man, I can't wait till we get to the Grand Floridian and just chill. You know, that'd be good.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That's a girl's. I could do that. I'm not a girl, but I could do that trip.
You've done tea?
I have done tea. Pinkies up. All right, last question of the day. Disney Springs is from Scott. No, it's from Mackenzie. It says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My family will be sailing on the Disney Fantasy in March of 2019 and will be driving down to Florida the day before. We should arrive at our hotel in Orlando in the evening and have decided to spend a few hours that night at Disney Springs. My question is that we only have 4 hours maximum there, so how do you think our time would be best spent? We are currently sold on dinner at homecoming, but we're wondering if there are any other restaurants that are worth considering. Also, are there any other shows, shops, or attractions that are a must-see? Sending lots of love and support from Ohio, Mackenzie. So how would you spend 4 hours? Homecoming? Yes. Okay, boom. That's probably 90 minutes.
I mean, so that 4 hours is going to go by really fast.
Yes, it is. Yeah, totally.
I'm just going to let you know. I mean, that 4 hours is going to go by exceedingly fast. I know a lot of people are very into dessert at homecoming, but I say save that and get dessert at Amorette's or Sprinkles or something like that. That way you can kind of get a couple of different flavors from Disney Springs. If you're looking for kind of an activity to do, you can always do the Void. If you're a Star Wars fan, I think that that's a really good option.
Explain what that is, because some people might not know what the Void is.
Yes. Okay, so the Void is kind of, it's a virtual reality thing where you... And I haven't done it yet. It's given the fact that I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan has not really caused me to go like, yes, I have to do that. But from what I hear, it's really cool. You don like these virtual reality glasses and like a pack or something like that. And it allows you to, it really makes you feel like you are in the scene that they are actually portraying on the virtual reality glasses.
Yeah,
so
it's supposed to be very, very cutting edge. It's like stepping into tomorrow with VR. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really, really cool. So that's an option that you can consider. Walking around and shopping. I mean, of course, you want to stop at, you know, places like World of Disney, and also, you know, Marketplace Co-op is one of my favorite places to go to. You've got some of the new stores that they've put in too, especially that are Disney related.
What's that one? It's the Disney Bounding Store. What's that called with the teacup? Disney Style?
Disney Style. Yeah, I think that's the one. Yeah.
That's a cool shop.
There's a couple of like Disney named ones that are like around there. I think there's a Disney Home one too. So, but yeah, your 4 hours are going to go by like that. You stop and enjoy maybe some entertainment that's playing along the sidewalk or whatever. I mean, really, it's going to go by so fast.
And the thing about, here's how I feel about Disney Springs. You don't have to go in there with a plan. And it sounds like, you know, if you have a goal for your meal, homecoming's good. I would stick with that because it sounds like you want to try it. Because the thing is, like, you can get just bogged down. There's so many great places to eat. You could eat there for, you know, 2 weeks, three weeks and have good meals every night. But I would stick with homecoming because you're curious about it and you won't be disappointed, I don't think. But the thing is, just kind of wander. Go from one end to the other. You know, start up at the marketplace, work your way to the west side, stop for some entertainment, you know, stop for desserts, like you said. When you encounter something you like, you know, and the thing is, maybe split desserts. So you could try, like, you know, split a Sprinkles cupcake and then go to Ghirardelli or, you know, Amorette's or whatever. You know, and there's so much to do there, so much to see. And it's so, you know, some of the stores are very fun, you know, and some of them are really, you know, like, go meet the polar bear at the Coke store. You know, like, I mean, that's kind of dumb, but I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, there's no line. You can go get a picture and... like you're growling like with a Coke bear. So there you go. All right. So that's our questions for today. But we appreciate those. So send those in. We try to get through a bunch today from the inbox. So keep sending them to Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about on the app this week? What's latest and greatest? The breaking news.
Can you see my eyes? Oh, dear.
I know. Find a story quick.
Every time. I'm never prepared.
It's amazing how that happens at 40 minutes every Wednesday.
I know. Every Wednesday, I'm never prepared. All right. So you're reading about the fact that Disney recently decided that they're going to do away with single-use items such as straws and lids and cups and plastic bags.
I'm hoarding these suckers. They're going to be collectibles on eBay. Disney and those straws. Kind of things.
Yeah, I know. I hope that they come up with something because Ricky likes straws, so I'm hoping that they still have like the paper straws.
Ooh, no. I'm gonna start a website.
No straw. No. I can't. One.
No, and I know a lot of our listeners can back me up on this. Paper straws freak me out. They're from the devil. Like, I cannot use a paper straw.
I'm not saying they're not
it
weird.
Gives me like just the thought of that.
That
like,
and no straw. Oh, no. I would much rather have the paper
never,
straw.
Never will a paper straw touch these lips right here. I have, you can see these on the camera. I have goosebumps just because you said paper straws. They're so gross. I don't know what it is. They're so gross.
Well, then
I'm going to buy, you know what? I'm going to buy, you know, we need to invent. Here's, I'm just telling you real quick. I'm going to make like a holster. And it's going to hold my little Mickey straw, the one that has like the little plastic Mickey head, the little hard one. And you just take that everywhere you go and just jam that into every drink for 2 weeks. You just whoosh, put it right back in your belt and you're set, man. You just bring your own straw. There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, anyway, so there's that. So this is hopefully going to be done by mid-2019. So just keep that in mind. That's about all I got.
Yeah, but getting rid of all the plastics in the resort rooms too. Like, you know, obviously the toiletries they're putting on the wall now, which is going to cut down on waste there. And I heard now here's the question I have for you. Let me just ask you this. And again, theme park news, Disney edition. Get on this. So they said they're going to cut down on the plastic bags at merchandise locations.
Yes.
So what we can do? Like, here, put your arms out. Here's your $250 worth of stuff. You can't get a bag to take it home. What are they going to do with that? I'm not bringing a canvas bag like I'm going to Trader Joe's or something.
I get it. I understand. You know what? I don't know because I heard they were going to do this for Disney stores, like in the mall and stuff like that too. Like, they're going to allow you to purchase a bag if you would like to purchase a bag.
No.
But if I don't want to spend a dollar every time on a bag, like,
I'm already getting like, fleeced. Give me a bag.
So I'm going to have to carry it all? What? I don't understand. But I guess, I don't know. Maybe they'll have plastic bags for those who don't want to purchase them. I don't. But then that kind of defeats the purpose of getting rid of the plastic bag thing.
I know. That totally does. It's just like another way to make money on me. And like, I'm already overpaying for Disney stuff.
I know.
I'm doing
feels,
that. Like, give me a
see,
bag.
See, that's what it feels like. It feels like they're trying to make money off of me. And they could just give me the canvas bag. Can you just give me a cheap canvas bag? I'll take that.
Like,
that's fine.
We give those away at the Magic for Less. Like, you know, come
but
on.
But then I guess you run into the problem of, well, then what happens when you have a bajillion canvas bags, too? So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those catch-22s. So.
And then Ray says, it's ironic too that Ziploc is now a sponsor, a plastic bag company is a sponsor of, like, I think it's the Kid Cop, because you were down there, the
it
Kid
is,
Cop stops
in
Splash
yes.
Mountain. Yeah, so what?
Dude, those suckers are so awesome though, by the way. Let me just tell you, because I got stuck in a monsoon rainstorm. I mean, just we stupidly went on Slinky Dog Dash, right? And it was the end of the night, and we had been trying to get on Slinky all night, and we couldn't. It was broke down all day. It kept raining all night. And so, like, we got in line at the end of the night, right? And all of a sudden, just buckets started pouring down. We got off Slinky drenched. I'm telling you, I've never been wetter in my entire life. Just like, I look like I just dumped a bucket on my head. I was like, ta-da! Walking out of the park, drenched. I mean, I had my umbrella. It didn't do anything. I could have had a poncho. Wouldn't have done squat. I would have been just drenched either way. So anyway, but I had my bag and I kept it kind of up a little bit. And I had the plastic Ziploc bag was in there. That sucker stayed completely dry. All of my KidCon stuff
there
was perfectly.
Hallelujah. See, 100%. That's testimonial. Today's show brought to you by Ziploc.
So, just saying, hey, if you ever do get caught in a rainstorm at Disney and you've done the KidCon stuff, just dump everything out of there and use the Ziploc.
Yeah, I don't know what the goals are. We'll see. I know it's to save the turtles, so we'll see what happens.
It is.
Anyway, so long ad read, but Theme Park News Disney Edition,
yes.
Free app, Apple devices. Check it out today, virtualmickey.com. Please give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod. Lots of followers over there, so thank you to everybody who's followed over there. Also at BeOurGuestMike. We've got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And let's see, what else? We got the Amazon affiliate link. When you do that online shopping, please click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that very much. And I think that's going to about do it. So Friday, we're going to be back. And what we're going to do is dig into our tech bags, the tech that we take to Walt Disney World. We've talked about this.
I was glad that stayed dry in my bag.
You know what? I think we did this show about 7 years ago, and I'm sure it's changed quite a bit since then. So we're going to just kind of rummage through our bags and talk about what we take, what we need to add to our bags and so forth. Our kit, as we'd call it over in the UK. And, you know, get some suggestions over the weekend for things we can all do to make our kits better for our next Disney trip. So stay tuned for that. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.